Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the Ecom Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, it's a little bit of a grab bag. I thought I'd talk about a handful of the things that I've been up to with work, talking about losing a team member and how AI is going to be impacting that replacement or lack thereof. Talk about working with an outsourced developer recently, some learnings there, a big branded video piece we put together, kind of a little mini movie style trailer, some security things that I think are important from hardware keys and kind of bulletproofing your organization. Just a bunch of random things that I've been dabbling with, learning, screwing up that I thought I'd talk about. So yeah, hope it's a fun one. I think it will be. But first this week, I have been working out. So as you may know, having listened to the podcast, wrapped up a gap year this year and also moved. And so was temporarily working out of a home office, a spare bedroom for about, 3 months or so, and finally moved into an office space this last week, which was so wonderful. I have forgotten how difficult it is to work from home. Even if your kids are at school, even if you have some degree of separation, just the mental mixing of having just one space for all of, your professional life, your home life. It's for when the people stop by and the sprinkler guy shows up at 10 a.m. and completely blows your workflow. So it's wonderful to be back in a workspace again, which has been really nice. And also just reminds me too of how I'm a very aesthetically driven person, for better or for worse, probably worse. I'm not sure that's a great character thing to brag about, but having a light-filled office workspace that's clean, that's tidy, that you can just come in and get down to business, I forgot how wonderful that is. So anyway, if that's something you've been putting off, try to get on that. It makes a big difference. All right, all the different things, been learning, messing up, last couple of months, let's get into it. Okay, so first I want to talk about 2 years ago, did some content about hiring my first executive assistant. And this was a woman who came on board, could not have tremendously increased my productivity. I couldn't have done a lot of the travels on the gap year and other things without her. She was great. She's moving on to some other things and we'll really miss her and sad to see her go. But one thing that really struck me as I've been thinking about that role and the hole it's left is definitely going to have some of our existing team members, one in particular, slide in to help with some of the key things there, especially around payments and some other money issues. But one thing that even in 18 months, I've realized is that a good chunk of what she was doing can already be done by AI. Some things with payments, automated payment processing, the kind that we don't have to manually do. Scheduling, calendar scheduling. I talked recently about a tool called Reclaim.ai, which helps you create what you needed to get done for the week and automatically schedules it. Built some really cool flows this week with N8N that help with podcast guests. Before, we were manually creating a bunch of the Google documents and sending out surveys manually. And anyway, N8N just automates all of this. And we'll probably have to do another episode on that. Lots of people I know already familiar with that. But bottom line being, probably a third of the work, maybe close to 50%, especially with investments, of what an assistant was doing 18 months ago can now be done with AI, which I think is pretty insane. I was having an interesting discussion with a friend over dinner, really smart guy, and we were talking about AI, and I was talking about kind of some of my concerns. As an entrepreneur, I love it, but he was, kind of made the devil's advocate case. Why is this any different than the Industrial Revolution, right? Like, why isn't this just going to, create a bunch of new jobs? Maybe there's a lag time, but it will create a bunch of new different jobs that end up replacing all the old jobs that were lost, and then net, it's a gain. And I thought about that because it's a good point. Thought about it, read about it, also talked to AI about it. Probably not a, unbiased observer. And the big three arguments that made me think, because I was in my gut, I'm like, nah, I don't think it's the same this time, but I couldn't vocalize very well why. But the three things: one, I think the first Industrial Revolution, it automated physical work. And this revolution is automating cognitive work, right? And so if you have both of those automated, where are you going to go next? Those are really the two types of productivity. I think that's one thing that speaks to the disruptive nature of AI. The second thing is the new skills that you're going to be needing to level up and be able to work on AI are much more sophisticated than, say, going from manually sewing something to working on a sewing machine and fixing it. And not everyone's going to be able to retool. And I think the third one, and this is maybe one of the most interesting ones, is the scalability is just wild. So like if you were in the Industrial Revolution and you lose your job to a machine, well, yes, that machine can work day and night, but the machine probably still costs a decent amount of money. It still has to be fixed. If you are a copywriter earning $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year, a lot of what you're doing, copywriters listening, you're going to hate me. I'm going to get hate mail for this, can be replaced with a $20 a month Claude subscription. So the scalability, anyway, so those three things I think are pretty good. And not to say that a lot of people listening are not convinced that AI is going to be powerful. I mean, we're already all using it. But for me, that intellectual experiment about why is it different this time, I thought those were interesting. Okay, working with a developer, we have, as I talked about, Patrick and I talked about in an episode, I don't know, a month, month and a half ago, are building out this AI-powered brain for our community. And tried to do it 2 years ago, we're doing it now. A lot of things we're hoping to bring to the community in terms of better search. We really want to be able to have superpowers in terms of making connections with people who can help each other, all sorts of cool things. The big mistake we made with this is we saw the opportunity, I think, very early and tried to do it 2 years ago and failed miserably. We came back to take another shot at it, which was a success. We hired someone, which I think was reasonably a good fit. The big mistake that we made was we hired someone and on an hourly basis, and we were not good enough at coming out of the gates with an insanely detailed upfront project spec for the project. And there was a number of reasons why we didn't do this. I've done it in the past. I remember back way in the day working on a project with Carson from FuelMade, and I ended up giving him some insane project spec that took me like 3 days to make, and I think hurt his brain. But it was, after the initial shock and pain, it was a beautiful thing because I got exactly what I wanted. There wasn't a bunch of project scope creep from his side. And it was just a really good reminder because we have wasted a good chunk of money and time on not having a good project scope we can hold someone accountable to. So anyway, maybe this sounds like common sense, like, hey, yeah, no brainer, Andrew. If you're hiring someone on an hourly basis, set up some good milestones. But it's not just milestones. I think it's also extreme. Like the spec we put together, I think was probably 40 pages at the end of it. It had an outline, table of contents. It had every milestone. In every milestone, it had like three or four sub features that we wanted. And each one of those, it explained what are the most important things here, what are the prompts that we want to put in, and what are the results we want to get from those prompts, and why are those answers that we get good. So, insane amount of work, but I think it'll be worth it. So, if you're working with developers, just a little reminder, don't screw up like we did there. Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick sidebar. I want to introduce you to David, who's the owner of dropguys.com, where they make super heavy-duty phone cases. He's a newer member to eCommerce Fuel, and here's what he had to say about his experience with our vetted private community for 7- and 8-figure owners.
E-commerce Fuel has been incredible. Within an hour of joining the community, I had an answer to a really annoying issue I was experiencing with Amazon. When I was trying to resolve the issue with Amazon support staff, I kept getting templated responses over and over again, which is very frustrating. I searched Reddit. There's nothing on there. I searched, I used ChatGPT. That didn't resolve my issue. And on the community, someone responded, they had the same issue. This was a simple fix. I implemented that the same day, and within an hour, the platform paid for itself.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. but many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their 7 or 8 figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show. The branded piece, we just did a branded piece for e-commerce fuel or e-com fuel, excuse me. So we've been doing ECF Live for 10, you know, this is our 10th one we did this year. And a lot of times we've done a number of video conference trailers for them. So, hey, let's record all the people, some testimonials, people talking. You've seen these for events that you've gone. And they're fun and they're cool and they can help people get a sense for what the event is about. The problem is that you're making this video and it probably feels stale in a couple of years because maybe your venue changes. For whatever reasons, it looks stale. It's so hyper-focused. And I decided this year, forget the expensive, you know, video, you know, kind of trailer just for this event. Let's use ECF Live as a backdrop to make a really cool branded piece for the community. One that is more fun, is more interesting. You know, it was something that was a pretty major investment. It was a low 5-figure investment. We hired a serious kind of film company out of Bozeman to do it, which was really fun. We're going to be using it for marketing and we'll be posting it in the forums and Twitter soon. But I think one of the things is I thought about what my lessons are from this. Yes, it'll be a marketing asset. Yes, hopefully it has an ROI. But one of the things that's so cool is one of the things I love about business is you get to do stuff. You can't do this all. Like you do this in perpetuity, you're going to lose your business and just run it into the ground. But one of the wonderful things about having a business is that you get to do stuff that's just fun, that you just want to do because making a movie about this thing and these people that you love and this community and this, and you want to do it well and you want to incorporate some storytelling and put a little bit of pizzazz behind it. Like you can just do it. And I think that's one thing with business that sometimes we forget about in the mix of building teams and marketing plans and looking at the P&Ls, and you forget like sometimes you've got this incredible tool that's incredibly tax advantaged with a lot of resources that you can do stuff that you just love. Anyway, so I thought that was fun. One of the other things I learned about this is it kind of, one of my goals last year was to become to be a better storyteller. And I spent a lot of time on the script for this movie. We made it 60 seconds because people's attention spans are so short. So had to be less than 60 seconds. And in thinking through the script, and I think this is a good hack for storytelling just in general, the most two important parts of any story, the beginning and the end, right? And if you're trying to think about the beginning of your piece, sometimes that's difficult to do. It's much easier to think about the end of your piece. And for me, the end of this piece, I wanted it to be an entrepreneur who had a community and a network and was felt at peace with the work he was doing. He felt like he had a deep community in his family as well as just his peers and entrepreneurial peers. And so that was very, to me, that's, you know, the resolution. And so a trick that I learned last year was to get the best introduction possible, look at your ending and completely think about what is the antithesis of your ending. Because good story is all about arc, all about transition, all about change. And so we put the protagonist, this entrepreneur, digital store owner, working late at night, stressed out. His family, his wife is texting him, trying to get him to, you know, quit for the night and come in and go to sleep because it's super late. And that is what sets up the framing for that arc. Anyway, so a little hack in the future when you're thinking about marketing story, things like that. Excited to share this again. I'll mention it and post it in the forums in the very near future as well as on social. So excited to share it with you. And big thanks to MissionRanch.co for putting this together. They did a great job with it. And if you're looking for good video work, storytelling, kind of high-end brand work and assets like that, check them out. They've got a great, great bunch of trailers on their website. Last thing I wanted to mention is if you're like me, you are probably getting hit up on your phone weekly, if not daily, by people from Apple who are telling you that unfortunately your account has been compromised and you need to contact them. Or maybe people from Google who are telling you that your password was reset by a strange IP address and you should call them in if that wasn't you. So much scammy phishing people trying to hack into your account. And it's really terrifying because we live in such a digital world, especially if you're running a digital business, that you get compromised. And it's a nightmare if you get compromised, especially on key accounts. If you are not using a hardware key, I can't recommend. The one thing I would take away from this episode is this week, go and buy yourself a YubiKey and set it up on your key accounts, especially your key email accounts, because people get into there, they can reset all the other passwords, and you will sleep better at night. So if you don't know what this is, of course you have passwords. Of course you have two-factor authentication, which is like the codes that you can enter, those kind of like 30-second generated codes. But a hardware key is literally a USB drive or a USB-C drive or whatever you want for your, whatever type you need, that you have to either plug into your computer or your phone or bring up within the NFC reader. If you get an iPhone, a lot of these will be able to detect it just by holding it next to it. And that is physically required alongside your password to log into your key accounts. And the beauty of it is, unless somebody physically gets access to that key, they can, and they have your password, they can't log in. They are a pain. I was trying to add someone new to our team for some assets just today, and it was a nightmare because they live in a different country and I wasn't able to get them one, so there's going to be a delay. But they are incredibly powerful at not letting other people into your accounts. I like to get at least a couple of them. I know some people like to roll solo with these and they just keep one, which I think is insanity, because if you lose that, you're screwed. I like to have at least a couple. So you got one and you have a backup, maybe one, you know, just for redundancy, but incredibly powerful. Like even for 1Password, which we use, or our password manager, not using 1Password anymore, but our password manager, we use a YubiKey for all of our team members to make sure their password manager accounts are locked down. Anyway, I know someone who got this, did not have this, was getting a lot of attacks, was really stressing them out, got this in place, and they literally, no exaggeration, sleep a lot better at night. So anyway, very random bag of all sorts of stuff. EA, AI, developers, branded pieces, and security. But a lot of stuff that was kind of pinging around in my brain, thought I'd reflect on a little bit of it. Hopefully you're able to take something from here or there that was helpful to you in your business this week. All right. And looking forward to next week. Next week, actually, we have Andy from the company Batch. They have an incredible story growing a CBD business in Wisconsin, 3 friends and business partners, just stratospherically in the last 2, 3, 4 years. Wild story. Anyway, looking forward to sharing that with you next week. So stay tuned for that one. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to connect with other experienced owners who are working to build a financially vibrant business alongside a rich, meaningful life, head on over to ecommercefuel.com to learn more and connect with 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you. Work hard, adventure often, and forge what matters. Look forward to seeing you again next Friday.